This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
This, the fourth in the Tomo Dvora series, deals with a fascinating idea, and I'm probably going to need to divide this into two 15-minute shiurim. The first one being the introduction to the idea of L'she'erit Nachalato, that Mido, that the fourth of the 13 characteristics of Hashem, which is L'she'erit Amo, the mercy that he shows to the L'she'erit Nachalato, the mercy that he shows to the remnants of his Nachalav, his inheritance. But to approach this piece of Tomei Dvora, I'm going to explore an idea on which it is based, which has a Kabbalistic dimension to it, and revolves around a verse in Yeshayahu. The verse in Yeshayahu is in chapter 63, verse 9, Samach Gimel Tet. And the phrase from that verse that we'll be analyzing is written in two different forms. It has a kri and a ktiv. That means it's written one way and pronounced another way. And the verse has three ways of being interpreted. We're going to deal with three different dimensions of interpretation. We're going to look at it the way it's written according to the ktiv. We're going to look at it the way it's read and pronounced according to the kri. And then we're going to look at the Kabbalistic dimension. It's interesting that in the Insights essay on last week's parsha, that's Nitzavim Vayelech, I spoke about the idea of Ad She'yavo HaKatuv HaShlishi V'yachriya Be'enehem, that very often we have paradox, we have contradiction, whether it's an interpretation of verses in the Tanakh or in our lives. And sometimes that paradox can only be resolved by a third dimension that's introduced into the mix, and we call that the Katuv HaShlishi, that third principle that clarifies, that throws an additional dimension. It's almost like looking at something from two dimensions of space and seeing a particular form. An easy example is if you looked at a cylinder from the top and you only looked at it with two dimensions, you would see a circle. If you looked at it from the side, you would see a rectangle. But when you see and you might say, is this a circle or is it a rectangle? How can the same object be a circle and be a rectangle? That's paradox, that's contradiction. Introduce the third dimension, the third spatial dimension, and all of a sudden you realize this is a cylinder. It is a circle and it is a rectangle. It is a cylinder. But you need the third dimension in order to appreciate that. Very often in life and in interpretation, we're looking at ideas or situations from a two-dimensional perspective, encountering paradox and contradiction, and we need to search for the third dimension in order to resolve it. Similarly, in this case, we have a kri and a ktiv. The verse is written in one way, it's pronounced in a different way. The two mean very different things, but with the Kabbalistic dimension added to it, the two extremes become holistic and integrated. And one sees one idea. So we need to explore that as the foundation for this fourth midah of Hashem in the Sefer, in the book of the Tomei Dvora. The verse that we're looking at, that chapter 63, verse 9 in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, is Bechol Tzaratam Lo Tzar. I'll translate it first the way it's written. In all their suffering, that's the Jewish people suffering, Lo Tzar, he doesn't aggravate them. There is no suffering. He did not cause them suffering. Difficult to understand. The way it's read is Bechol Tzaratam Lo Tzar. It sounds the same, but it's read with the Lo as a Lamed Vav, which means in all their suffering, he suffers. Hashem suffers too. So the word lo can be written lamed aleph, which is negation. That means no, negation, the negative. And lamed vav means his, or he, or to him. And so b'chol tzaratam lo tzar, depending on how it's spelt, can either mean in all their suffering he did not cause them suffering, or it could mean in all their suffering he suffered too. And that's the way we read the verse. But let's focus a little bit on the way the verse is written. B'chol tzaratam, in all their suffering, lo, lamed aleph, the negative tzar. But lo, that lamed aleph, from a Kabbalistic perspective, can read in a different way. It could mean le, to, aleph, the letter aleph. B'chol tzaratam, in all their suffering, le aleph tzar. The aleph is what suffered. It's really the aleph that suffered. And I want to explore with you what that means, the aleph. And I want to look at it in two areas. The aleph within us, what does that mean? What is the aleph in us? And the aleph within Hashem, which we'll come to in the second phase. Let's have a look at that aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Firstly, it's silent. So that's the first thing that strikes us about the aleph, is it's a consonant with no sound. It cannot be pronounced. We call it the silent aleph. The next thing important about the aleph is it's the source. It's the beginning of the alphabet, and the alphabet is the beginning of all wisdom, all knowledge, all communication. So the very source of the source of everything we can understand and grasp is that aleph, which leads us into real paradox. That means silence. The absence of clatter, the absence of sound, the absence of articulated verbiage is in fact the source of what? Well, aleph means something else too. Aleph comes from, in the Aramaic, aleph means to learn. So now if we take the idea and we read it through and we reason it through, what we find is silence. That point, that moment of stillness, almost the point at the center of a turning wheel that is still, that point in our minds that is still, that point in our souls that is still, that is silent, that is quiet, is the source of learning. Let's go a step further, as Rav Shlomo Alkibitz does in Kabbalah, and say, but the aleph read backwards means pele, and pele is wonder. So it's the wonder that is discovered through silence. There are sometimes wonders that are noisy. There are wonders that are dramatic. But there's an amazing wonder that can be discovered in the silent places of being. So now let's read our association of ideas, all coming from this little aleph. This aleph, silence, then is the source of all learning, leading to the wonder of discovery. But that wonder is hidden. It's only when you read the aleph backwards that you find the pele, that you find the wonder. You've got to go into it from outside in, and you've got to get deeper and deeper and deeper, starting at the pei, and then going to the lamed, and then to the aleph. That leads you into this place of wonderment, this place of absolute silence. Now, that understood, then what does it mean? B'chol tzaratam, in all their suffering, the Jewish people, la aleph tzar. It's that point deep inside of us that suffers. If we just suffer on the outside, if we feel pain on our skin, if we feel discomfort in our environment, if we feel sadness at a superficial level, that doesn't change us. That doesn't bring about transformation. But b'chol tzaratam la'aleph tzar, when the suffering of the Jewish people touches their essence, it touches their heart, it touches the very source, that silent source of wisdom and wonderment in each of us, is where we feel the pain when we experience suffering. We feel it in a very deep place, and it affects us, it changes us, it transforms us. Now let's take the idea a step further and say, that silent place deep, deep inside us, what is it? What is that place? That's our soul. That's as close as we can get to accessing our soul. And what is our soul? Our soul is a part of Hashem himself. Our soul is a spark of God. So at that point of inner silence, when we can sometimes access it, whether we use deep meditation techniques, sometimes we access it through the study of Torah, if we're able to study it with with full intent, sometimes at silent moments of prayer, of davening, certainly on Yom Kippur, if we can just insulate ourselves from the goings on around us and just settle and become still and breathe carefully and deliberately and slowly and focus and think and feel, we'll be able to find on Yom Kippur that we can access during moments of the day. It gets easier and easier as one gets towards the climax in the Ilah, that we can access that silent point. But that silent point is the point at which our soul merges with Hashem, and there's a connection there. So now let's read the sentence again and say, "Bechol tzaratam," in all their suffering, "le aleph," the essence of all silence, which is the source of wisdom and wonderment, is Hashem. So in a micro sense, there is a point in our own soul which is that source. But in a macro sense, that silent source of the entire universe's wisdom and wonder is Hashem, that silent point at the center of the universe, that silent point that encompasses the universe. That's Hashem. In which case we now read the verse to say, "Bechol tzaratam," in all their suffering, "le'alef tzar." Not only is the aleph is the silent point of our own souls in pain, but that pain is shared by the big aleph, by the aleph of the universe, by Hashem himself, the source of everything. Because at that point we are merged with Hashem. At that point we're inextricably bound with Hashem at our point of silence, at our point of aleph. And so the Chol Tzaratam, Lo Tzar, means now in all their suffering, the Jewish people's suffering, the aleph suffers, both the micro aleph in each of us and the macro universal aleph, which is Hashem himself, also suffers. And that is why the Kri is as it is. The way we read the verse is Lamed Vav, which is in simple translation means, in all their suffering, he suffers too. God suffers too. So through the Kabbalistic analysis of the Lamed Aleph, we've got to a deeper understanding of the Pshat, of the simple meaning in the Kri of Bechol Tzaratam Lo Tzar. Hashem suffers in all our suffering because he is part of our suffering. He is a part of us at that point. And so the Talmud Dvora then goes into that explanation and says, Hashem handles us in such a way where he says, as if to say, "My Eseli Yisrael, how can I cause them any more suffering? How can I do this? Behem Krovai, they're my relatives. She'er Basar Li'imahem, we share common flesh. We are one, we're intimate." Now we understand what that means. It's at that aleph source that we are in that way intimate. Shehem bat zug laHakadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if we're a pair with Hashem, as if we're mated with Hashem. V'korei la biti achoti, me, and Hashem calls us, my daughter, my sister, my mother. And it says in Shir Hashirim, Yisrael am karavo, we, the Jewish people who are his relatives, his intimate nation. Mamash kurva yesh lo imahem uvanavhem. Hashem really has a relationship with us, a blood relationship with us, so to say, and we are his children. That's what it means. She'erit does not mean the remnants of his inheritance. The word she'er explains that the Tomer Dvorah also comes from she'er basar, which is a word used for an intimate relationship. A wife is called she'er basar, somebody who is of common flesh. Somebody who is intimate in a physical way. So when the fourth dimension or the fourth characteristic of Hashem's relationship to us is l'she'erit nachalato, that's that God treats his inheritance, his nachala, the Jewish people, as she'er, as close blood relatives. B'sof sof hem nachalato, mal hu omer ani shem, hare hake'ev alai. And God says, what can I do? Shall I punish them still more? I suffer when I punish them. How much can I punish them? As it is written, and he now brings the verse that we studied, Bechol tzaratam lo tzar, k'tiv lo ba'alef. It says lo with an aleph. Lomar she'tzaram magia lepele ha'elyon. Because their suffering goes to the source of all wonderment. Bekarinan bevav, and we read it as vav lo tzar, that Hashem feels that suffering as much as we do. And then the Talmud Dvora says, "Kach yitnahega adam im chaveiro." That's the basis of Jewish identity. That's the basis of feeling intimacy and closeness with other Jewish people. Kol Yisroel Hem Sheu Basar Elohim Elu. If we are all related blood relatives, intimate relationships with Hashem, then we are all intimate relations of one another. Mipnei Shanashamot Klulot Yachad, because all the souls are bound together in one source. Yesh Bezeh Chelik Mizeh, Bezeh Chelik Mizeh. Each one has a part. There's a part of my DNA that is in each of you. There's a part of each of your DNA that is in me, because we come from one source. We come from one origin. We share common flesh. We have intimacy with Hashem. And that is why Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. That's why the Jewish people are responsible for one another. That's why I can do a mitzvah and you can be yotzi. That's why you can say a brocha and I can be yotzi. We can do things for one another, and it's as if we've done it ourselves, because when you do something, there's something of me that did it too, and when I do something, there's something of you that did it too. And that applies not only with mitzvahs, but when we do something wrong. If I do something wrong, I'm letting you down as well. If I do something wrong, I've taken something of you and brought you down too, and therefore we owe it to one another, and it is our business to take care of one another. It is our business to uplift one another. It is our business to help one another, as we said in the last Talmud Dvorah Shir. It is our business to help each other repair our wrongdoing and to uplift each other, because in each other is a bit of each of us. Lachen ra'ui la'adam lihiyot chafetz b'tzavato shel chaveiro. Therefore, one should crave for the well-being of our friends. Just as our well-being is important to us, so our friends' well-being is important to us. We should have a good eye. We should enjoy it when our friends have good experiences and have prosperity. And somebody else's honor should be as dear to them, to ourselves, as it is to them. Because he is him. You are me and I am you. And therefore our joy can be shared. Our suffering can be shared. Our honor can be shared. Our happiness and prosperity can be shared in the time. Zen is Tavino, and that's what it means when it says the Ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha, love your friend as yourself, because there is some of yourself in your friend. V'ra'ushi Yirtze B'Kashrut Chaviro, you should want your friend to be proper and appropriate and esteemed and dignified. V'lo Yidaber B'Gnuto Klal, and that's why we don't talk negatively about people. V'lo Yiratze Bo K'der Shena Kosh Baruch Hu Rotze B'Gnuto V'lo B'Tza'aro Mitama Kurva. And we shouldn't want suffering for our friends, just as God doesn't want our suffering because we're close. So we should have no pleasure or no desire for the suffering or the disgrace or the humiliation of another Jewish person. And when another person is suffering, we should feel that suffering as if it is us. And when another person is feeling joy and gladness and goodness, we should feel it in the same way that they do.